I breeze through some of that soundtrack album of his.
It's all 60s stuff, right?
Yeah. It's basically like, hey, remember Happy?
Here's 12 different versions.
But you know what? You know, there's some stuff that sounded good. I was like, oh, okay, this is like, I can listen to this while I'm driving around, like doing chores on my Saturday.
I can see that.
I was also sick most of the weekend. So, you know, you hear stuff differently when you're sick.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. I even made the mistake of like trying to like, I was like, you know what? I'm not feeling well. I'm holed up in this house. Let me go chop a sample.
Oh no.
Yeah. When you try to do something creative, when you're sick, I came back like last night and listened to it. I was like, oh no, God. Whoa.
Yeah.
What was that?
Yeah.
Because it sounds like when you're sort of like in that Sudafed mind state, that should be the name of a song, by the way, when you're in that Sudafed mind state.
save it for Lucy. I'm going through beats right now, right after the show.
You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am your co-host, Armand Wake Up. I am your co-host. Like, isn't it I am a co-host?
Listen, we've done it like this for 200 and something episodes.
I know.
We're not changing that. And they're a part of Clock Radio Speakers.
What's that?
They are a part of the show.
What's a part of the show?
The fans. They are a part of it. Like, you're their co-host.
Yeah.
Listen. It's just what we do.
All right, fine. I am a co-host. How about that?
Oh no.
All right. You know what, man? Forget it. All right. I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up. ArmondWakeUp, Wake Up, all one word. Clock Radio Speakers is powered by Tumblr. You can find us there. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, 4thdistrict.com. And yes, correct? That's everywhere, right?
Yeah. That's
everywhere. Not on SoundCloud. I still every once in a while get the, man, you're not on SoundCloud anymore. You're killing me. Just find somewhere else to listen to your podcast, bro. Listen, I don't think SoundCloud is that good for podcasts anyway.
I think the thing that they do really well is if you get it, like you just put on SoundCloud and SoundCloud is a decent app and their stuff embeds everywhere really well. Like, you know, it's not bad.
No, but it's not good for the listeners. And here's why. Because my podcast, I'm not sure how iTunes works. I'm sure it works similar. But the podcast app that I have, if I don't get through an episode in one sitting and I go away from it, I come back and it starts where it stops.
Right.
SoundCloud doesn't do that.
That's true.
That's a deal breaker for me.
And while I'm shocked that not everybody listens to our podcast in one setting, sometimes things happen.
Right. Sure. Shocked. You don't have 2 hours to listen to us randomly. But you know what? There are people who sit down every week and make time to listen to us, which is crazy. I got some really, really dope testimonies this weekend about the show.
And I mean, at least we do sides now. We used to just put out 3 hour episodes.
3 hours. And for those of you who used to consistently listen to those 3 hours, God bless you. Because sheesh, it's a much easier listen now. I agree 100%. But what's up, Doc? What's going on, man?
You know, just get, you know, happy we're doing everyone's favorite podcast. It's your favorite podcast, or something like that.
It really is, though, on the highest of keys. It really is your favorite podcast. Don't let me talk. I want to so bad. I will when we get to J. Cole.
We're going to have a lot of soapboxes today. Just get them lined up, get them ready. But no, everybody can follow me on Twitter at @Doc_beats. That's not a Z. Yeah, man. I'm trying to think of anything else going on. I was sick all weekend. I think I made the mistake of I haven't been sleeping enough. I've been working extra hard, and then I went to New York last week, to go see the UConn Syracuse game. You know, you're on the subway, you're in cabs, I could have got germs from anybody, and then my body was already tired, so it was like, nope, that's it.
Yeah.
So I had to take Friday off from work and spend most of the weekend on the couch, like under covers, like, you know, I was sick.
You were teed up.
Yeah. But now, you know, like I said before we start recording. Now I'm in a Sudafed mind state. I'm all drugged out right now. It's great.
That means your beat should be better, right?
Funny guy. Funny guy.
That's what the rappers say. That's what the rappers say.
Man, I got comments about drugs again. That's 2016, man. Just a lot of drugs.
Lots and lots of drugs.
We'll talk about that because we're going to talk about a couple things today. We're talking about your man Absol.
Yes.
talk about your man J. Cole.
Yes.
But before we do that.
Your man Terrius as well. We're going to talk about Terrius, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. He's got a new EP out.
Yep. But what's up?
You know, we had a little news today.
What's that?
The man that apparently that most of our fans think I stand for, Kanye West, visited the president-elect, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
Yep.
You know, am I surprised? No. Do I think it's stupid? Yes. Do I think they talked about anything of consequence? I have no idea. Nobody knows anything about Kanye's mind state right now. And even at his best, he's a giant egomaniac. And Trump's a giant egomaniac. There's like a bigger picture of stuff going on with Trump right now where there's a lot of there's always been like a lot of like rumblings about, oh, is he involved in this? Is he involved in that? This thing, that thing. A lot of news about, you know, looks like the Russians not just attempted, but might have actually like had an influence on, you know, purposely tried to influence the election to favor Trump and a lot of noise like that. So whenever those stories come out, all of a sudden Trump's doing this. Oh, look at this and look at this and look at this. And the media can't help themselves. They like trip over themselves. Oh, it's Kanye and Trump. And it's like, yeah, why don't you talk about this other big thing that came out?
Right.
So that's part of what's happening too. Hopefully Kanye knows that, you know, he probably got bumped up a little bit in Trump's schedule because Trump needed something to show the cameras today. As long as Kanye knows that, and that's sort of part of it, and as long as he got out of it whatever he needed to get out of it, then, you know. But this honestly really ties in more with what we're going to talk about with Cole, which is the issue of narratives and how we feel about artists.
Yeah.
So all I'm going to say is, I don't know. Kanye, I don't know if the word is he liked Trump, but Kanye is Kanye. You know?
Yeah.
Got nothing else to say. His hair is blonde.
His hair is blonde.
There you go.
Frank Ocean album in stores now.
I've listening to a lot of Frank Ocean blonde lately.
Good for you. Okay.
White Ferrari is such a perfect song. I love that song. We'll talk about Frank when we do our end of the year.
You'll talk about Frank when we do our end of the year.
If you're sitting there telling me that you're struggling to fit 10 and you're not able to find room for Frank Ocean in that top 10, we're going to have some issues. We'll save that for a couple weeks from now.
Listen, man, we just going to have to put the boxing gloves on now. It's cool. Like, we just going to have to fight it out and hug it out later.
But yeah, I don't know. You know, a lot of people want us. I don't know. It's funny how we are now in an era where, so now that we know so much more about our artists, I don't want to get too deep in the narratives. I'm trying to keep that separate. Now that we know so much more about hypothetically, we know more about our favorite artists because of social media and how much more accessible artists are typically. We now want them to sort of be as perfect as we always hoped they would be. So, you know, I'm sure there are people who are gonna be like, oh, I'm done with Kanye now. And I'm like, done with him with what? I don't understand. Like, You're done with him because you don't like his music? Cool. But you're done with him because he did something stupid? I mean, listen, do I want to recap all the stupid stuff every rapper I listened to growing up did? No. I don't know. Let's save some of that for the narrative later because I think I'm about to step all over that.
Yeah, because I was really about to say a good narrative will erase all that, but
all right.
We'll get
there. All right. Teaser for later.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. So,
but that's not really music related. We could talk about some music related things.
I think we probably, this is going to be a music heavy episode. I don't think there's anything else going on. There's a lot of things going on, but I think for this week, we can keep it music. We can keep it hip hop, fam.
Keep it hip hop.
Shout out to Soul.
You mean Lupe Fiasco.
Let's talk Lupe Fiasco.
He put out some new music.
Put out a freestyle. Yep.
And now he says he's done. As in no albums, no nothing.
Yep. But he said this before.
Right. I was just going to say, but, you know, how many,
I guess,
you know, we heard, you know, I never really believed that a rapper actually retires.
I think if you are artistic and creative, or if even just to broaden the scope, if you do something you love, you never stop doing it. Maybe the reasons why you do it change and maybe how often you do it changes, but you never stop doing it.
Right.
Like, I'm probably going to rap forever. Am I going to put out albums and music like in my 60s? Maybe. But, you know, probably not. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's cool. You know, I'm not going to be chasing like any limelight. You know what I'm saying? But here's Lupe. Mm-hmm. Lupe needs to delete his Twitter app.
Okay.
Not his Twitter, his Twitter app.
Okay.
He needs to delete his Twitter. He needs to find Soundtrack.
Okay.
He needs to not worry about sample clearances. Mm-hmm. And he needs to make up his last 3 or 4 weed plays that he's given us. He's not allowed to retire until he follows up the cool correctly.
He's got some karma to take care of.
Go get gemstones. Mm. I'm saying this as a Christian. Go get gemstones. Go get him. Go find Matthew Santos.
Oh.
Go get
Matthew Santos. I haven't heard that name in a while. All right, keep going.
I guess you don't kind of need Shayla G. I mean, I never really heard enough of her. Or Bishop G. Just get the whole First and 15th crew back. Definitely get Nikki Jean. She's so fine. Go get her and put out another just don't do anything for a year and find Robert Glasper, because Glasper can play some stuff. That little project you did where you rapped over those Glasper beats was pretty dope. Something like that was a more streamlined direction would be great. And somebody to tell you no. All y'all in the studio, put out an album. Shut up. I want to hear it. Here's the thing, though. Here's why I'm not on the flip side. I'm not crazy upset about him being upset.
Okay.
Because Lupe essentially got Clock Radio Speaker.
What do you mean by that?
So when he put out, basically what he did was, you know, from what I'm hearing, it was a response to J. Cole on False Prophets talking about lining up rappers. Everybody Dies, where he was talking about lining up rappers. I think it was Everybody Dies. Talking about lining up rappers, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm the greatest rapper raps. Mm-hmm. Everybody has this. So I guess Lupe, quote unquote, took offense, put out some memes that sort of alluded to responding to that, took the instrumental and responded to Cole. And in that, what was the line? Hold on, let me pull it up. Something about Dirty Jews or something like that. But let me find the whole line for sure. Is this it? No. Okay, whatever. He said something about dirty Jewish execs. I'm still looking for it because I really want to have it. Oh, here it is. Artists getting robbed before they publish by dirty Jewish execs that think they're alms from the covenant. I'll retire when I'm tired. That's a Firestone death. Easy to say nobody's there like a microphone check. I kind of like that line. Easy to say when that's kind of hard. So essentially, SoundCloud takes the freestyle down because of hate lyrics or hate propaganda or okay. What have you. And so I guess maybe it's not really him getting Clock Radio Speaker, though, because we didn't say anything hateful. They just thought we bootlegged Kanye's album. Either way, they swiftly snatched down their freestyle, similar to them swiftly snatching down our episode. And that is what prompted Lupe to say he was done, because he said something along the lines of, I'm not trying to get beat up for the truth, which brings up a completely different conversation. So yeah, here we are. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny, right? SoundCloud will take down your music for lyrics that, I mean, frankly, didn't disqualify people for voting for Trump. Like,
yeah,
we're in a weird place in our society right now.
F Donald Trump is on SoundCloud, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Those are hate lyrics. No.
Well,
I mean, what's the difference?
I think there's a difference between hating a person and hating a group of people for their ethnicity.
I mean, is hate not hate, though?
No, that's what people mean when they mean hate speech.
What? Just hating a general group of people versus one person?
It's about hating a group of people because of something that they can't change about themselves. Right. Okay. So you hate black people because they're black, or you hate Jewish people because they're Jewish, or you hate women because they're women. That's okay. Hate speech.
Okay.
Typically. I know. Please. If you have corrections, don't email me.
I agree.
About hating an individual person.
But isn't that still bad, though?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't disagree with your definition of hate speech, but to me, hate is hate. Play hate is ball. Wish all the bad things in the world happen to you and you alone. I mean, yeah.
To me, there's just a difference.
Okay. I don't think there's much of.
I mean, it's not like, right, let me put it this way. I mean, to me, the F Donald Trump song is not F Donald Trump because he's a white male. It's F Donald Trump because of what he has done in his life, which is different, if that makes to me.
I think that his am I no, okay, I'm not going to say that. Only because I don't want to come off like a Donald Trump apologist, because I'm not. But I don't know. I think hate is hate. I think hate is hate. Especially in this very PC society where we want to love everybody and wish everybody the best and all other stuff, like, you kind of still have to have that posture towards somebody who may not love you or care about you as well. I mean, that's really what love essentially is. Love has the ability to trump hate. Wasn't that Hillary's slogan or something like that?
I mean, they had a lot of bumper stickers that said love trumps hate. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Lupe Fiasco.
2016.
Like, these really interesting, very particular conversations and dispositions that we had. Lots of gray areas, right?
Yeah. But
lots of gray areas.
But let's talk about something that hopefully is not a gray area.
Which is what?
Your man Big Bang Busta Rhymes. Apparently came out with a new song today with Swizz Beatz that you and I have not listened to yet.
Yes, that is correct.
And we are going to listen to at least part of it live right now on the podcast.
Yes, we are.
So this is Busta Rhymes titled, I would say Ah, but it's Ah!
Jesus.
The cover is Busta Rhymes screaming with his eyes closed, and there's a lot of fire.
He is embossed in fire.
Embossed in fire.
All right, let's do this. Yeah.
So ironic, it's Busta Rhymes. So
isn't terrible.
No, I like that beat.
Yeah, the beat is kind of hard.
I was ready to slander, but nah.
I was. I wanted. I'm just gonna play it to the hook.
Yeah.
Because the hook might be funny. How I pick it, making niggas put holes in the wall is how I rip
shit up. Throwing a little yak and some kush is how I mix it up. I love that beat is hard.
Very much so. Where your nigga get his shit and how he thinks it up. Look, part of me, yeah, look, people, I lift shit up, lift shit up. Yeah, yeah. I just dropped a big bag on the brand new. Yeah, I just pulled up to the club with the top all gone new. Wow.
Maybe
there's a bridge after the hook. I'm really hoping. Okay.
All right.
Stop it. All right, whatever. Wow.
So the beat's hard.
That was a letdown. Really wanted to laugh.
Yeah, they really tried to build a hook around an ad lib.
They did.
Hmm.
I mean, well, you know.
That beat's nice, though.
Yeah, it is.
That felt like 2005 Swiss.
Like, that was Big Bang Theory?
No, Swizz Beatz, that era.
Big Business Swiss?
Big Business Swiss.
Not One Man Band Man, right?
No, the one before Ghetto Stories. Yeah.
He had that record. What was that record called with Lil' Kim that he had?
The one with Busta was Andale, right?
Yep.
Boom. Bum, bum.
Yeah, it started. Yeah. Yep. Dang it. I was mad. I wanted to laugh. Okay, but no. Hey, shout out to Busta.
Hey, we set up slander and then we get proven wrong. So we can say we're wrong here on Clock Radio Speakers.
We absolutely can. We have that space.
I was ready to laugh, but that song's not bad.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so. Do we want to talk about. Part of me wants to stir up trouble. Should we stir up trouble this week or nah?
We're gonna anyway.
Well, I mean, before we get to Cole, because Cole's gonna stir up a lot of. No, what's gonna happen is people are gonna be largely quiet, and then they're going to talk about other people who said exactly what we said. That's what's going to happen with this episode, because that's what happened last week.
I like how you're, firing shots before the shots are even fired.
It's cool. I have the Mr. Burns gun, like the old gun from the 1800s where you put the pellets in, from you put the stick in there and then you fire it once. Got those. What it was called? Was that like a musket? Is the musket the one with the with like the big horn in the front? I don't want to start trouble. I'm chilling.
Okay.
Where are we going?
Switch gears from Big Bang Buster Rhymes. Talk about, you want to talk about Tarius Nash?
Yeah, we can go Tarius real quick.
Real quick.
Very much so.
So apparently we have Love Affair coming eventually.
March 23rd.
Just in time. That means just in time for him to put out the first single for around Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
If he's going down that path.
Yeah.
Who knows? Because some of these songs. So what we get now is this is the teaser EP.
Yep. This is the Something's Happening.
Right. It's either the Something's Happening or the these didn't make the album, but now that we have streaming services, I'd like to make some money, please.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Called Love You to Death.
Yep.
I have not been able to find production credits or anything for this.
Interesting.
Mm. Nothing on Wiki or Genius.
Interesting.
I don't feel a need to go track by track on this, but
okay.
I don't know. What do you think about this?
I like Ferris Wheel.
Ferris Wheel's okay. Who is singing on the first half of Ferris Wheel?
I thought that was all Terry's.
Because he's using a different voice.
Speaking of a different voice, did you see somebody hit us up?
I did. So last week we speculated about Childish's album that he was, I think not just, I don't think we were the only ones to speculate. Lots of people were assuming that on songs like Redbone that he pitched his verse up. But in fact, he's claiming no, he just sang a different way. So, I mean, there are obviously songs on there where he is using vocal effects, but yeah. I think he's drawing a distinction between using vocal effects or plugins versus, no, I actually sang normally and then I pitched up. He's drawing a comparison between, say, like what Frank did on Nikes, and which is clearly a pitch up, and what he did on Redbone, which is singing a falsetto and he's probably using something else. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
If that's Tarius on the first on the first verse and hook of Ferris Wheel, oof, I don't know what's going on there. Because, I was sitting there listening to it and I was like, uh-huh. Yeah, but I was like, who's this deep voice guy and where's Tarius Nash?
Yeah, I think that's Tarius.
Ooh.
I'm almost positive it is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not supposed to be the tall guy from Boyz II Men. That's not his role.
Oh, God. Yeah, he's really not.
No. The one song that stuck out to me was College Days.
Okay.
Because this is my own fault. I believe it was just last week or even the week before when I advocated for the return of Dirtbag Tarius Nash.
You did.
This is the dirtbaggiest dirtbag. Like, the concept of the song is basically he's singing to this girl saying, I forget about what you did in college, assuming, and I believe later on in the song he even refers to like how she was a stripper in college. And then he says, can't you forget about what I did last night?
Dirtbag.
Dirtbag.
Tarius the dirtbag.
Listen, like he says, why are you making me promise it's the last time when you feel in your heart it's not the last time? Oh, cold-blooded dirtbaggery. And it's like I'm sitting there. I'm listening to the problem is that I'm listening to this as a married man. And I'm like, yo, you can't. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, man, Tarius really is like living his second childhood.
Shout out to Nas.
Like, I'm not trying to judge anybody because I don't know him, but like I listen to this, I'm like, oh no. Because I'll be honest, like the production and the melodies, this is not A grade Tarius, this EP. Yeah. There's nothing on here terrible.
Yeah.
But there's nothing on here that I would even call really good.
I would agree with that.
The title of Reflex, I had a little hopes for, but then I heard it and I was like, nah.
Me too.
And Ferris Wheel, when he actually starts singing like himself, it sounds better.
Yeah.
But none of this is even on the level of anything off of Foreplay. Or
okay,
at least the better songs off of Foreplay to me.
Okay, so I was about to say, so take off your rose-colored Terry's glasses.
Okay.
And like, is this good for Tarius versus is this good for Doc?
No, I mean, I just mean, a, I mean, So actually, what was his, what did he have after four? What was the EP after Foreplay?
Wasn't it like Black or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, he's basically put out a lot of these small EPs that have all been, there was the Crown EP.
The Crown EP. Yep.
And I'm like, none of these are really that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was Royalty, Crown. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. These just aren't not doing it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree for the most part.
Like if I'm putting together a 20 track or even a 30 track, like here's a giant dream playlist you need to listen to. I'm not putting a single one of these songs on there.
I was going to say like, I wouldn't put anything post Foreplay on there though. Like,
yeah, I probably agree with that.
Yeah. I mean like you like Foreplay more than I do and I probably just need to revisit that. But I mean, I remember liking Equestrian.
Equestrian was incredible.
That was the record that stood out to me the most. What was the album that had Michael on it?
That one too.
Okay.
Michael is hilarious.
Michael is hilarious, but it's dope though.
Right.
I'm not
saying Foreplay is incredible, but it still has some really good like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
But here's the thing I'm worried about for us, okay. You and I being Dream fans. Mm-hmm. He has been talking about this album since
Love Affair.
Love King. Yeah, he's been talking about Love Affair since Love King.
That's right.
So, you know, he might mess around and detox himself.
Mm.
Or, you know, Cuban Links 2 or Helter Skelter, something. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a little concerned. I'm not concerned for him. I'm concerned for me. Like it might be one of those things where I have to wait a while before I judge it properly.
Mm.
Because I know my expectations are going to be high. Because I'm probably one of the only 10 people in the world who thought Love King was super dope.
No, Love King holds up.
Yeah. Like the first half of Love King and I believe like the end. I think the middle's kind of if I remember right.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, listen.
Like Florida University records like that.
Sex Intelligent Remix.
Sex Intelligent Remix is crazy.
She wants me to Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep.
Terry's one of the few people who can sing a song about the song and it works.
Yep. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now. It kind of ends bad. Like Florida University, Veteran, Priceless.
Priceless isn't bad.
I used to like Take Care of Me, but Take Care of Me is a little too whiny for me.
Right.
But I mean, Love King, Make Up Bag, Sex Intelligent, Remix, Yamaha, Nikki Part 2, Abyss, yeah. Pants to the Side. Like that's a little run.
Yeah. Yamaha, Nikki Part 2, Into Abyss.
Yep.
It's nice.
Yep. Agreed. We did a Dream retrospective. You guys can check that out at clockradiospeakers.com.
Pow.
If you want us to basically listen to Stan for Tarius for 2 hours.
There's nothing better than our breathless recap of Fancy.
Pretty much one of the greatest songs of the last 15 years.
Yeah, I just realized we're coming up. The Dream has now almost been out officially for like as a solo artist for almost 10 years.
Crazy.
Right.
So crazy.
So crazy right now. Okay. Anything else you want to say about Tarius Nash?
I'm good, son. I'm straight.
We are flying through this week.
That's fine. I'm ready to get the call.
Well, first, we should probably talk about Absol.
You can talk about Absol.
You don't want to talk about Absol?
I mean, we can. I have very little to say about this project, but go ahead.
So, well, before we do that, let me ask you, in general, before this project, how'd you feel about it? I mean, where were you at in terms of Absol?
Absol is Absol's worst enemy.
No, what do you mean by that?
Absol has, I think, again, he's one of those people where like what he represents, the idea of him is really good, but the execution of who he is and what he presents is always well below what he could do, what it seems like he could do. We'll say that.
Okay.
Something like Absol's outro, which was my first introduction to him, was incredible. But he doesn't have three records by himself that I can point to and say, this is dope. Like if I want to play Absol, or if I want to introduce somebody to Absol, what three records would I play them? I have no idea besides Absol's outro and Book of Soul. But I don't want to like have anybody contemplate suicide because Book of Soul is a really, really heavy record.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool. Like his beat selections are always very mundane and dry. And He usually raps around what he's rapping about, and that bothers me to no end. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that's, I hate rappers. Like, there's already so much passive aggression in hip hop. Mm. So then, like, when that gets into the lyricism, it just bothers me. Like, just say it. Like, if you say I'm getting money, just say I'm getting money. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly was not looking forward to this. I hate the TDE rollouts where they usually just consist of like, rapper X is complaining about Top Dog, and Top Dog responds and blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, oh, the album comes out next week. Here's the single.
Right.
Don't talk to me about it. Talk to them. They ain't like that. That worked like the first time, but this is literally like SZA quit. It happened with Q twice. It happened with Soul, with every single project. It's like, come on, just roll out the project.
So I remember liking These Days. I remember that there were that was one of those cases where he put out some of the extra records on SoundCloud that should have made the album. And there's a reasonable, like pretty easily put together 1.5 of that actually makes that a fairly compelling album.
Mm-hmm.
This album, maybe I just wasn't paying as much attention to what Ab, like really looking at the lyrics for what Ab was saying, but he's really like 97 cannabising up in here.
And don't disrespect 97
now,
cannabis.
What I mean by that is like on Raw, he actually talks about synapses doing jumping jacks, which if I read that phrase to you and asked you who said that, you know, you probably would have said like cannabis or JLAC.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of like, it's clear. I mean, there's a song on here called Drugs, which ironically is one of the catchier songs on here. The hook especially is catchy, but like there's a lot of, it's very clear that he sort of has what I call like weed knowledge. Or sort of like,
he's fake deep,
right? It's like, it's not like, because he actually talks all the time on this album about he's nicknamed himself YMF, which stands for Young Mind F, right? And he sort of will like try to be clever, but then he'll like point it out, like look how clever I was, but he's not really clever. He's not kicking knowledge. This is like oops pow surprise knowledge. This is smoke weed, my mind is blown. Did you think about that knowledge? Right? This album is the thinking face emoji. Like, that is the cover for me.
Oh my God. He said, oops, pal, surprise. Oh, yo, I'm so done. That's the new fake D.
Like, oh man. So Threatening Nature, right? Which is meant to basically be a remake of Nature of the Threat, which in itself is a big oops pow surprise like kind of song in a sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he second verse, he starts by talking about her story instead of history, which is like, it's exactly what like a junior in college says in an entry level history 101 class to try to impress the freshman girls.
Yeah.
Cause like, listen, it's corny, man. Like, listen, I consider myself a feminist. Like, I will proudly say that. Right. History is written by those who have power. Right. So American and European history is written to reflect white males. Right.
Right.
Women and people of color are portrayed in a certain way. Right. And it's not fair. But don't give me that her story. Like, because what he does is he'll like reference it and to make you go, oh, her story. I never thought about that, without actually explaining why that matters.
Absolutely.
He says instead of hymns, he says hers. And I'm like, oh, man, come on.
Hymns, like gospel hymns?
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
Yeah, and, I mean, the whole God's a girl narrative is like, that's like...
Yeah, there's a lot of that in here.
Pristine weed knowledge, yo.
I mean, he has a song called Womenogamy.
No.
Which, that is... That's not... sorry, that's not 97 cannabis. That is Can I Bust first album type stuff.
Can I? Yeah, that is nigganometry, isn't it?
Right. Womenogamy.
Or Channel Zero. That is like, hold on. You're right. So this Absol album really is like cannabis dialing into AOL to like,
right.
to hack the White House servers.
Talking about his story? What about her story? Ooh.
Dude, oh my God. I mean, I didn't watch his Breakfast Club interview, but I did hear, you know, Do What Thou Will is the Aleister Crowley narrative of the religion he founded in the late 1800s, early 1900s or whatever. And so when he tried to, when they tried to sort of call him out on that, like from what I hear, he didn't even say that. He was just like, yeah, you know, it's just like, you know, do what you want and have an open mind, man. And, you know, it's very much like recycling cans for nickels. Like, duh, I'm not rolling. I'm not. Listen, you're first off, you've named your album after Aleister Crowley concept. You got yeah. all these.
Can we talk about, should we talk about that?
I think we probably should.
So it's meant, he talks about it all the time. He like does. It's referenced all throughout this album.
I'm glad you listened to this whole album because I didn't. So, okay.
It's referenced all throughout it. But he's kind of inconsistent about it, if that makes sense. But so you brought it up. So for those who don't know, what is Aleister Crowley? Who is Aleister Crowley? Why does that matter?
So Aleister Crowley was like, he was a Satanist. He led he created a religion called, was it like Thelema? Something
like Thelema.
Yeah. So basically it's about, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's about man not suppressing its natural will.
Right. So I'll quote straight up from Genius here. The mantra of Thelema is, do what thou wilt shall be the law. I'm sorry. Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Love is the law, love under will. So basically, so do like, what you do.
Do whatever. So do whatever you want.
Right.
And in that, a lot of craziness occurred. I mean, that's pretty much like if you don't have any sort of structure, I don't even want to talk about morality or religion or anything like that. If it's like, do whatever you want, do what you like, shout out Digital Underground. If there's no structure within the context of do what you want, that literally means you can do anything. That's fake deep. So that was taken within the reigns of Thelema into a lot of like necrophilia and a lot of like sex with animals. And it was a lot of it, from what I read, was very steeped very deep in sexuality, more than just man and woman, and even more than just man and man and woman with woman, just like craziness. And I don't think that's what Mr. Soul was talking about on this
right.
project.
Right. So there's references to a lot of that throughout this whole album. In terms of the actual music, to me, these beats aren't as good as what I heard on These Days. There are some good beats here. There's a lot of, honestly, and this is, I'm sounding like an old man, but like, I understand that there's a lot of slower tempo hip hop out there right now, but sometimes you gotta switch it up.
Yep.
Like, would it, you know, for lack of a better word, like a lot of this just is not musically interesting to me necessarily. Right. There are some times where it's actually like, oh, okay, like this isn't that bad. Like Invocation, like that beat is actually like a step up to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. And the thing with Ab is like, he is, when he wants to be, very technically proficient. Like he can rapidly rap. At least he's doing that. I mean, he's doing it all over this album.
From a technical standpoint.
Right. From a technical standpoint, right?
I agree.
How he's flowing, how he's trying to, he's using alliteration, he's packing in syllables. Like he's doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Now, is he really rapping about anything? Again, it's a lot of oops, pow, surprise. Like,
yeah.
He has this whole part on Beat the Case where he says, like, he uses the word liability and then, like, liability as, like, a pun, but then he, like, calls it out, like, points attention to it, which is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. He listens to a lot of battle rap, and battle rappers do that all the time.
Mm.
Get it? How I said this, and son. I call my brother son because he shines like one. Like, okay.
Yeah. Just in general, this is not really my speed.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, if you listen to the show, you know that I will really overlook quite a bit if at least, like, musically and melodically you're keeping things different or interesting, or you're trying something, or there's something that's catching my ear. And those moments to me are few and far between here. He relies really heavily on trying to blow people's minds. like with what he sees as his insight.
Uh-huh.
And it, you could take that or you can leave it. But when you rely heavily on that, I mean, you sometimes have to remember, oh no, this music needs to be interesting too.
Absolutely.
And you know, there are some beats on here that aren't bad. Like The Law has a nice Angie Stone sample. Too bad Rhapsody does more of like spoken word than an actual verse. Trying to think what else has like Drugs, the beat and the melody on the hook is actually not bad at all.
Yeah.
Too bad it's about, of course, loving drugs. Yeah, there are parts on here where you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Like sometimes this kind of works, but like wifey versus Wi-Fi is just painful to listen to. Like the concept of it. Jesus. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about narrative soon.
Okay.
This is what happens when you rely on the narrative too much.
So what do you mean by that?
So like you said, like Soul obviously wanted to wow us with his oops, pow, right, surprise theology. And so the theme of it is, yo, he's using the Aleister Crowley theology, the song titles, blah, blah, blah. Like that's the discussion versus, as you said, is the music good? And I think what some artists do, whether it be intentional or not, is that they rely on what they're doing as opposed more than how they're doing it, if that makes sense.
Right.
And this is totally, you know, like, come on, dog. Like, it's not, I don't care what your, I mean, I care what your theology is, but I don't care. But more important than that, at least try to entertain something, please. The music still has to be good. And, you know, much of 2016 has been about, and I think, and it even goes back to what we talked about with the election. It's like, all right, so, and Pharrell made this point. I was watching his Breakfast Club interview. It was a really, really good point he made. He said one of the things that was wrong with the election was that, you know, social media treated it like everything else that they watch on TV. And so it wasn't about, you know, politics and the way the country's going to be ran. It was entertain us.
Right.
So we voted for the person who entertained us the most won. And that's in turn what happens with music. Often than not, we just want when the narrative is good. Now I'm bleeding into it. But when it's good, we love it. But when it's bad, we never blame it and say, well, the focus was on that. And that's why this is not good.
Okay.
Because it's trash. I'm never listening to it again. Okay.
Yeah.
This is
I'm not listening to this album again.
Here's the thing. I don't want to listen to Ab Soul again.
Ooh.
I've given him three chances. Why am I listening to it? Because he's on TDE? I don't like anybody on TDE except Kendrick. And sometimes and occasionally SZA. And Q's good for a song here and there. J-Rock's good for a verse here and there. But what has anybody else outside of Kendrick done to warrant them a listen to their full project? They haven't, not for me.
I think I like Q a little bit more than you, but I mean, this project isn't doing Ab Soul any favors. Like I said, I like These Days, but this is a step backwards to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember reading something about him and Alchemist was supposed to do a project together. If anybody can pull out those weed raps, it's Alchemist. Because at least the beats will be good.
The thing is, like, it's not just so much that they're weed raps. It's how seriously he takes himself.
Absolutely.
As like some sort of prophet.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, come on.
Oh, don't get me started about prophets. Don't get me started about prophets. The last thing. Okay, I'll stop. Okay.
Anything else you want to say about this?
Nope.
This is not making the top 10. No way.
Nope.
Okay. I think that's it for side A of this week's episode. Side B will be about Mr. J. Cole himself, along with a bigger conversation about that favorite word of ours, narrative. Thank you all for listening to side A. Side B will be on clockradiospeakers.com along with the rest of our shows, and we'll see y'all there.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.